Well, in case you haven't heard, the Philadelphia Eagles, they're headed to Super Bowl 57. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. We're going to continue to take a look back at that beautiful magic 31-7 NFC Championship win against the San Francisco 49ers and look ahead to the matchup, which is now set in Arizona. All that and more coming your way on this Tuesday edition of Locked On Eagles.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
For making Locked On Eagles your first listen each and every day. Welcome in Eagles fans to a Tuesday edition of the show. It's sponsored by FanDuel. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sports book of the NFL and now the Locked On Podcast Network. Visit FanDuel.com/lockedon today to get started. Man, you know, this was one of the days that it was very easy to get up in the morning, and it almost felt like a dream yesterday that the Eagles won the NFC title, or I should say 2 days ago now at this point. And, you know, it's kind of the days are blurring in because it's been such a magical ride, but the reality is still the fact that they are going to be in Arizona in 2 weeks taking on the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl. And sometimes I think, man, that simulation theory really might be real because, or the NFL is scripted because me and you have gone through so many incredible, eerily similar storylines to 2022 and 2017. And now the fact that the Eagles are going to play Andy Reid to potentially win their second championship in 6 years, the Kelce brothers are going to be in this fight. I mean, the two finalists at MVP for quarterback, could the NFL have asked for anything more?
Could we as Eagles supporters ask for anything more? And you talk about the ultimate way to kind of right every wrong that has been done in the history of the Eagles. Lou, Andy Reid is once again keeping you from winning a Super Bowl. He didn't do it in the early 2000s. Think it's about cold. It like that. It is cold. It's a cold world out there, man. But Nick Sirianni is going to have a chance to be the second head coach to win it. And Andy Reid could never do it. And he could potentially win another title with Pat Mahomes. And Pat Mahomes could be the only quarterback out of these playoff QBs that could win his second ring. All the storylines are just writing themselves. And here we are once again in a Super Bowl where you're going against a quarterback who is talked about as one of the all-time greats.
And he's number one in the league right now, just like Brady was in 2017.
Exactly. And the guy who most likely will win the MVP because the Philadelphia Eagles quarterback couldn't play the final three games of the season due to an injury. You couldn't write this if you tried, Hollywood. It's the best reality television out there.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, Lou, I want to make something known. Yes, I want the Philadelphia Eagles to win this thing more than anything, but could anybody be happier for this matchup that at the end of the day, it's either going to go to a great Philadelphia Eagles team or Andy Reid? I know I made that joke early in the show, but man, he's the best coach to do it.
Well,
in
it is true though, ever. Gino. I mean, he was 1-4 in NFC titles in Philadelphia, and it's kind of crazy that both the Eagles and Andy Reid have kind of overcome those conference title woes. I mean, the Eagles win it in 2017 and in 2022, their last two visits. And Andy Reid now has made it to 3 Super Bowls with Kansas City. So He's what, 3-2 now? He's made it 5 years in a row. He made it 5 times with Philadelphia. He really has become one of the greatest head coaches in NFL history. So it is kind of cool to see, while what you said was reality back then, to see both the Eagles and Big Red kind of separately grow in this way and get to that next level is really cool. And they both got rings, you know, 2 years apart. And now they're going to battle head to head to get that second one. I just think it's a really cool storyline. And again, the Kelce brothers, and, you know, you look at how last year we watched Chiefs Bills and we said, we can't hang with Patrick Mahomes. And now you feel like you really can, almost to the point where me and you wanted this matchup over Cincinnati. There's just so many cool angles that I can't wait to get into with you for 2 weeks, man. We got a lot to preview.
I don't know if I would say that I wanted this matchup more than Cincinnati.
I mean, it's a lesser, it's pick your poison between two of the best in the league, but I feel like they match up better against Kansas City, where you're going to have to play an elite quarterback no matter what. I'd rather play Valdes-Scantling and Sky Moore in a banged up team more so than Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and that Bengals offense. But again, it's like 1A, 1A part 2, you know, I mean, it was going to be tough no matter what.
It is going to be tough no matter what. And I think it was clear and evident in that game the other night when you're watching Kansas City take on Cincinnati that Andy Reid, once again, it's the guy who's done it in multiple franchises, gotten to these big time games time and time and time again. Like you said, Lou, he's now gone to five championship games in both conferences with two different teams. That's something that coaches just don't do. And he's one of the all-time greats. So here we are again, setting up a Super Bowl where you're going to have to take down a head coach and quarterback combo, which are in the consideration where they're both going to be first ballot Hall of Famers, much like Belichick and Tom Brady were 5 years ago. You're going against an offense which is one of the best in the league, which has an offensive line that has question marks, a defense that has question marks. Yeah. So at the end of the day, is it going to be the Eagles take that formula against the Niners where they just are going to grind it out in the trenches? Or could you see something playing out like 2017? That was the first thing that came to my mind is, I don't know how this game is going to play out at the end of the day, because I could see it going both ways.
Right. I mean, that's why these are the two number one seeds in their conference. You know, it's not going to be easy. Just like 2017, you took care of business against the number one defense. Now you got to play the number one quarterback that's likely going to win MVP. Again, if you believe in the simulation theory, just watch the NFL and it'll make you double down on that stance. Incredible. Eagles Chiefs set for 2 weeks in Arizona for Super Bowl 57. But, you know, again, we got to continue to take a look at that incredible win on Sunday against San Francisco. 31-7, the Eagles win their second NFC title in 6 years. The stage was set literally on the field, and the entire city of Philadelphia celebrated. I want to get into, you know, today's not stock up, stock down, because they're headed to the Super Bowl, but I want to get into some stock ups. We'll talk about some of the players that truly shined and got the Eagles over the hump to get to the big game. We'll get into that coming up right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. And guys, today's episode of Locked On Eagles is brought to you by Blue Nile. Valentine's Day, it's coming up right around the corner, which means romance is in the air more than usual. I don't need to tell all you lovebirds that you've probably had your date plans on the calendar for weeks. But have you found the perfect Valentine's Day gift yet? Whether you're celebrating this day of romance or whether you're ready to pop the question, you can find jewelry as unique as she is with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. At BlueNile.com, you can find the perfect piece of jewelry for life's special moments or even create the custom engagement ring of her dreams. Their simple online tools let you choose the diamond shape, size, and clarity, as well as the setting style. Blue Nile's bench jewelers will then handcraft that perfect piece to your specifications. Blue Nile provides expert guidance, in-depth education, materials, and unique online tools that place you in control so you can forget the usual hassles of the jewelry shopping process and focus on the romance. Blue Nile's diamond price guarantee allows you to compare a competitor's diamond against one of theirs. Blue Nile can even meet or beat their price. Every order is insured and arrives quickly in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shipping is free, and so are returns. Right now, you can save up to 50%. That's huge. At BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com for up to 50% off. BlueNile.com. We thank you so much for making Locked On Eagles your first listen each and every day. It's the official daily podcast of your NFC champions, the Philadelphia Eagles. Guys, also make sure to check out the entire Locked On Podcast Network this week. We're heading to the Senior Bowl. I've got my flight tomorrow morning to Alabama. Get inside analysis from the hosts that cover the NFL's next generation in college and find out which NFL draft boards these players will be climbing all in one location. Subscribe to Locked On NFL Draft for nightly live shows from the Senior Bowl on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern time. But, Gino, of course, the Eagles do have a top 10 pick, which means, you know, the winning of 2022, probably not going to go away for a while, but we got to focus still on this season because this team is one of two remaining. Eagles Chiefs set for Super Bowl 57 in 2 weeks in Arizona. And I don't know, man, has it set in for you yet? I don't know if it truly will until after the season where you start to reflect, but I think the adrenaline and just being in the moment, maybe that's just life in general. It's hard to reflect when you're still living in the moment, but it still, for me, feels surreal that this team is back in the Super Bowl and the first time we've done it together on Locked On Eagles.
It still will always feel weird, even that they won it. Every time I watch
yeah,
the 2017 replay And
because you almost like blacked out from excitement and nerves. And,
oh, I didn't see the last 5 minutes of the game. I was crying. I was on my knees crying. I knew they were going to win that game. There was just a different feeling to it. But when you go back and watch that replay and you see the ball go up to Gronk, you're like, oh my goodness, is he going to catch this thing? And that doesn't even seem real. So this doesn't seem real. But much like this season, you have to just enjoy that ride, because what you did, Lou, in back-to-back playoff games, unlike the early 2000s where you're like, yeah, we can't score points. 14-3, that was the score of an NFC championship game. And you're saying we have one of the all-time great offenses, one of the all-time great defenses, and we couldn't get over that hump.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden 2017 comes around and you're like, you don't know what to believe at this point. And then here's 2022 and you're saying, look at all this movement that's happened around the NFL. If the Eagles just control what they can control, much like 2017, maybe there is a formula. So you're riding this wave that is the unrealistic expectation of actually getting to a Super Bowl with the chance to beat Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid. That's just incomprehensible in and of itself. But to say that this team did it without Carson Wentz in two different occasions.
Crazy.
I always think back to that tweet that you quote tweeted, and it said, if you were to go back in time, and
2016
say that,
specifically.
To 2016, that the Eagles would get to two Super Bowl appearances in the next 6 years and Carson Wentz would start neither game. That's a testament to the head coach. It's a testament to the front office. It's a testament to the guy that is leading the charge in Jeffrey Lurie, that everybody bought in when Jalen Hurts became the guy. Right?
Well, maybe, Gino, that's why it hasn't settled in, is because also the way the Eagles end up getting to these titles. I mean, it wasn't improbable when you look at how talented this team was, but again, when you combine 2020 to now, and even 2016 to now, it feels even more surreal in that sense.
Yeah, and we go back 2 years ago to the date that Nick Sirianni gets hired, and people were making fun of him because he can't even just get through his press conference because of nerves, and getting hired to be the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, which if
just
you
like
think
Doug,
about
man,
that,
remember in 2016, they made it again, everything almost feels scripted and simulated, that
it does.
The exact thing happened to Doug Peterson and he won a title in 2 years.
And Nick Sirianni is going to be one of the most respected head coaches in the history of the Philadelphia Eagles, regardless of what happens after this moment, just because of the tumultuous situation that he had to come into after 2020 with Doug Peterson. You fire all-time great head coach in the history of the franchise. You're more than likely going to move on from who you believed was your franchise quarterback. And you and I on the show said multiple times, it was like a gray cloud over this franchise where you didn't know the next time that the sun was going to shine. You didn't know what the path forward was. So to come out of that and to set that up and to talk about all the backstory that led to this moment, that is the most impressive part, that many teams have gone into similar situations and have never gotten back to that glory, never gotten a sniff. There's five teams or six teams that have yet to win a Super Bowl, multiple teams like the Dallas Cowboys that haven't been to a championship game in multiple decades. But for the Eagles, that's just something that is in the building now in NovaCare, that's the expectation. You're either going to get the job done or we're going to move on. They got rid of Chip after 3 years because he couldn't do it. Doug turns around, does it in 2 years, and Nick Sirianni has a chance to repeat that and do it in two years himself as well.
Gino, the job, the pressure that were on the shoulders from day one for Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts, I feel like both had a very short leash with the fan base, who was still almost shocked about the result of 2020. I don't think anybody, even with COVID, even with the roster and the injuries, would have foreseen that type of regression from Doug and Carson and just the Howie and the entire team. So these guys come in, and the fan base is still reeling from that. The franchise itself, we don't really know where they're going. Even the owner and GM, it's like everybody questioned, do they even see Nick Sirianni as the long-term head coach? Do they see Jalen Hurts as the long-term quarterback? And then they're 2-5. For these two guys less than 2 years later to be the two that carried this team to another Super Bowl is incredible. And, you know, I think we talk about it for Jalen Hurts more, but you got to give credit to Nick Sirianni as well. He took over for the coach that won them a Super Bowl. Carson Wentz, at least one thing is Jalen Hurts didn't take over for Nick Foles. He took over for Carson Wentz. So it's a different story too. But I just think both were built for this. There was a lot of guys that understandably wouldn't have been able to handle that pressure. And I, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that because you look at that picture yesterday on the stage of the original five, right? Fletcher Cox, Lane Johnson, Jason Kelce, Brandon Graham, the original four, and Jalen Hurts. And I thought about that moment and I'm like, would Jason Kelce have retired would he have unretired if he didn't believe in Jalen Hurts to be this guy? Would Fletcher Cox have re-upped on a one-year deal instead of testing the market? Would Brandon Graham have decided to retire or move on instead of, you know, coming back on that torn Achilles? And Lane Johnson as well, think about after 2020, maybe my future, the second part of my career is somewhere else. But I think Jalen Hurts, like seeing him in that picture with the original four from that other era, it shows that they believed in him to overcome this dark period. And I think that's a kind of cool way to look at it. And that's why I saw that picture yesterday and it almost got me emotional. It's just cool to see how far they've come.
Very well said. That was excellent the way that you put that. And the one thing that I have to look at is what makes you buy in any line of work? I think it's working with people and being in a group of people that are real and true to who they really are. And the thing that kills me is that people still say that Nick Sirianni is like quote unquote corny and unauthentic. He's the most authentic guy. There's like you said, would Jason Kelce have came back and played for Chip Kelly, or would Fletcher Cox have come back and played for Chip? I don't know the answer to that question. I can't give you a firm yes or a firm no, but they bought into what Nick Sirianni was buying, which goes hand in hand that he believed in Jalen Hurts, that Jalen Hurts was his guy, and he was going to give him the keys, as he said in that press conference a year and a half ago. That's the realest dude you can imagine. And hats off to Jeffrey Lurie for taking a chance on him when he came into an interview, just happened to be in Florida. You talk about the right place at the right time. That's what Nick Sirianni was.
And he wasn't even wearing like interview clothes.
No, he didn't have a suit and people got on him for it. But you're right, Lou. I think how real all of these guys are to truly buy into what is the ultimate goal. There's a lot of teams that say they want to win, right, Lou? There's a lot of teams they'll take risks and trade for players. But at the end of the day, are the guys in the building willing to do everything it takes?
And it would be justifiable, Gino. It would be like if you're Jason Kelce, you're in your 30s, you just won a title, and now 2020, you're a four-win team, and you've been considering retirement for 4 years now. It's hard to convince. I mean, that speaks volumes of Sirianni and Hurts that Kelce came back and Fletcher Cox and those guys. So, yeah, I think, you know, you put it perfectly too. The authenticity and the realness of those two staples of this organization is so crucial. And I genuinely believe already, Gino, that Jalen Hurts is one of the best leaders in franchise history. And I think at the quarterback position, there isn't a guy, even Nick Foles, who this team loved. And I think there's a lot of similarities to Jalen and Nick in this way, how they can get the entire team to totally buy in on them. But Hurts vocally setting the example, maturity, his preparation, his development. I think he's the best leader at the quarterback position Philadelphia has ever seen.
I don't think you're too far off. And in the post game show, I said that we have to put more stock into what these kids
I love that
can
you said
do.
That. And it's changed my perspective, Gino, because I've been a traits guy and I still believe that, but I sometimes would bypass that a little bit too much. And I think Hurts has made me change that perspective for sure.
I know I'll take all the crap in the world for my takes on Josh Allen when I thought he was coming out of the draft as a guy who's way too raw and he doesn't have the accuracy to make it. But man, everybody in the city of Buffalo, like anybody you meet, will take a bullet for that guy. And they buy into who he is as a person. And that's why it's so easy to love Jalen Hurts and root for him, because coming off of the back of Carson Wentz, where he was talking out of two sides of his mouth, when you look back on it, where he said he wanted to lead, but he didn't do the things leaders did. Jalen Hurts leads by example, man. And every time he takes a hit for this team, every time he goes to war for this team, look at who's there besides him to pick him off the ground when he gets hit. It's every one of his teammates. They will live and die for Jalen Hurts, and that's the ultimate testament of this franchise, is that they are brothers at the end of the day, and it doesn't feel like 2017 where there's any animosity between any of these guys right now.
No.
And it's true friends, and Jalen Hurts and AJ Brown, who have played forever, playing football together once again, and Hassan Riddick coming home to play in Philadelphia, and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson playing for his grandma's favorite team. It feels like these guys really want to win it for the city itself more than just winning a Super Bowl for that individual glory.
He's a 24-year-old. We've said on the show before, he's a 24-year-old that prepares and looks like he's someone that's been in the league for a decade. He's 36 and he's been in his 12th playoff game. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's not the case, but you wouldn't know it. Even yesterday, I don't know who said it, but I wish I could credit them, but somebody even said it. Jalen Hurts only threw for 121 yards. But even in a game where you say he didn't even shine, really, he's still against the number one defense, made no mistake. So even on the field, that mistake-free football and the way he carries himself in that way as a veteran, that's another part of how far his leadership goes. And like you said, how this team just wants to completely buy in and fight for their quarterback. And it's a huge reason they are moving on to Arizona for Super Bowl 57 against the Kansas City Chiefs in 2 weeks. Gino, coming up next, we'll do a little stock up. We'll wrap up the show talking about who really shined in that game against San Francisco in the NFC Championship. That's coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast.
Before we wrap up the first show in preparation to Super Bowl 57, we have a word from our friends over at FanDuel. FanDuel is America's number one sports book. And if you want to wager on the big game, make sure you do it at FanDuel, America's number one sports book and the official sports book of the Locked On Podcast Network and the Locked On Eagles podcast. If you're new to FanDuel, well, I'll tell you what, it's a perfect time to get in on the action. My dad calls me up the other day. I can't make this story up. And he goes, I want to start betting on football. I want to get it in before the Super Bowl. Have you ever heard of FanDuel? Well, let me tell you what, Dad. I give him this promo code, and you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn, and for Super Bowl 57, you will get a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. My dad, he put it in instantly. He signed up with FanDuel. He bet on the Eagles this week. He's going to bet on them again in the Super Bowl, just like Lou and I on LOE3 hammered the Eagles money line responsibly. Make sure you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's LOCKEDON to claim your no sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment with FanDuel, the official sports book partner of the NFL and the Locked On Podcast Network.
We're wrapping up this Tuesday edition of Locked On Eagles. As Gino mentioned, it's the first show as we prepare for Eagles Chiefs. Super Bowl 57 is set after the Eagles completely dominated the number one defense on the ground. 31-7 over the 49ers, and their defensive line literally took out both of their quarterbacks in a clean way, which is sometimes not the case with Ndamukong Suh, but he did it clean this time against Josh Johnson.
Can we talk about this, Lou? Can we talk about this?
Yeah, yeah.
People seem to forget that in 2019, there was a quarterback by the name of Carson Wentz who was playing in his first playoff game. And there was somebody on the Seattle Seahawks, Jadeveon Clowney, who not in a clean way like Hassan Riddick or Ndamukong Suh. I don't think that was a dirty hit. People say that.
No, it was a total clean hit.
Totally clean hit. But Jadeveon Clowney took out Carson Wentz in that game, and the Philadelphia Eagles had to rely on a over 40-year-old Josh McCown, who in that game, Lou, tore his hamstring and had to play the remaining part of the game.
And almost won them the game.
I don't want to hear any tears shed over what happened to the San Francisco 49ers.
We're the last team to.
We are the last people that want to hear your sympathy. We have gone through my first game ever seeing the Eagles play. I saw Donovan McNabb tear his ACL.
Backup quarterbacks,
Jeff Garcia.
Yeah,
it's what we do.
Quarterbacks in big games for the Philadelphia Eagles is literally what we do.
Cry me a river.
Knock on wood. Outside of this year, it's always been the case. So
quite literally,
yeah. So the defensive line dominated. The offensive line dominated. Gino, you look at, I mean, we talked about it yesterday on yesterday's show, how good the trench play was on both sides. But then Brian Baldinger started to do his, you know, classic early morning after the game, you know, clip ups, highlights of the offensive line. And then you zoom in, you see just how good Jordan Mailata was. Landon Dickerson, Jason Kelsey, Lane Johnson, re-tore his groin. The fact that they were that good and put up 31 on the number one defense, and honestly, I don't even think the entire offense was clicking on all cylinders. That's how good this offensive line is, that they can put up 31 still in that kind of scenario.
On Next Gen Stats, they put out every week the pass rushers, how much pressure in terms of distance, and how they measure that is how far away from the quarterback they are at the time that the ball is released. So, just for reference, every single player on the Eagles front, Javon Hargrave, Reddick, Sweat, and Fletcher Cox, were under 4 yards of separation. In fact, three of them were under 3.5 yards of separation, where the league average is 4.53 yards. The Niners only had one person, Lou, under that 4.5. No, actually, they had two under 4.5. Nick Bosa was at 4.43. Charles Omenihu was at 4.46. Eric Armstead was at 4.56. And Sam Abukam was at 4.6 as well. So two guys got under the league average by about a quarter of a full yard. That is a testament to how good that offensive line played against the best unit that did not make it easy for the Eagles to gain any yards. Go back and watch it. They grinded out every single yard in that game, but they didn't just do it at the backs of their offensive line playing so-so ball. They dominated those guys. There are clips of Mailata pancaking Bosa and taking him out of the play completely, something that offensive linemen haven't been able to do all year long. And the Eagles, who were facing players that are just as good in Trent Williams and Mike McGlinchey, dominated them. Trench play wins this late in the season, Lou. That's the ultimate testament of how this game came to be.
And I look at two of the running backs, and the run, I love that you called him Kenneth Clement yesterday on the show. Kenneth Gainwell is making you very confident. I don't know what's going to happen with Miles Sanders' future. I hope he's back in 2023 for sure. But Kenneth Gainwell's run in the playoffs, over 100 yards rushing against the Giants in the divisional round yesterday, 14 carries for 48 yards, also had 26 receiving yards. So how many yards is that, Gino? Math time. That's 70.
Need a calculator.
Yeah, whatever. It's nearly 80 yards from scrimmage. And, for a fifth round pick, again, now we got to go back to Howie Roseman too, to even the smaller moves that he's made, like getting Kenneth Gainwell in the fifth round and, seeing the plays that Reed Blankenship has made this year. They're very top heavy with some of the star talent. We again have said the 2022 Eagles are the most talented team in franchise history, but to see guys like Kenny G, making when a Kenneth Gainwell is hot in the postseason and a Reed Blankenship, and you got your slot corner like Avante Maddox making big plays. I mean, good luck when your role players are looking this good. That's the making of not just a good team or a great team, but a historic team. And that's what Philadelphia is starting to become this year.
In any sport this late in the season, it comes down to depth. I look at my Colorado Avalanche winning that cup last year. If they don't have that depth on the fourth line to grind out minutes against the team's first line, that's how you lose late in the season. When you don't have the seventh, eighth, ninth guy in the defensive line rotation that just can continue to wear down the offensive line across from him while that first guy in the rotation gets some rest on the sideline to keep him fresh, that's the recipe that Howie knew he needed to fill in, because Fletcher Cox couldn't keep playing 60 snaps a game. Brandon Graham couldn't keep playing in that starting role. They brought in guys that just allowed everybody else to be better within their own role.
Right, Linval Joseph with a fumble recovery yesterday, and Ndamukong Suh took out Josh Johnson. I mean, so that's, we didn't even mention them. Kenneth Gainwell, Reed Blankenship, and Ndamukong Suh, Linval Joseph, the role players in Philadelphia this year. It's been tremendous to see, as you mentioned, just how deep the roster is. Not just top heavy. They have, again, they have everything. They have veterans, young stars, stars across the board, starters, rotational players. It's just a near perfect roster.
And you have to go down the list. I mean, there's going to be names that we leave out, but you see guys like Patrick Johnson make a play yesterday. Yeah. And
Boston Scott scores a touchdown.
Boston Scott scores a touchdown.
Big return to set the tone in the game to get all the way up to the 35.
Yep, Jack Stoll and Zach Pascal blocked the rear ends off to open up a lot of those runs for that team on the outside. And you're tasked with doing that as a wide receiver going against a safety or a corner that's just as physical as anybody in football. That's how the Niners were raised, on just being able to play fast, physical football. And the Eagles took their recipe, used it against them, and did it even better than they usually do, because that's how the Niners win games. They win in the trenches. They win because their offensive line can get multiple yards downfield and open up the run game. They win because their defensive line comes up in big moments and stop the opposing quarterback and their playmakers by filling gaps and are fast, physical, and athletic, which I keep going back to. But the one thing we've learned all year long, Lou, is that when Howie Roseman wrote those three things down a couple years ago in the draft and said they have to love football, they have to be able to run, and they have to remain healthy. Well, man, look at this roster right now.
They're fully healthy, Gino. Yeah.
They can run, and boy, do they lay the hardwood at times. And
for sure,
I'm excited for this Super Bowl matchup, man. Two great rosters meeting once again. And Andy Reid versus Nick Sirianni, here we go.
We've still got 8 podcasts for you before the big game, Super Bowl 57 in Arizona, Eagles, Chiefs. Make sure you subscribe to Locked On Eagles on all platforms and on YouTube as well. Going to the Senior Bowl this week, so we even have some draft coverage for you too. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase, LOE, and at GC24_football. As always, thank you so much for making Locked On Eagles your first listen each and every day. Make sure you also check out the Locked On NFL podcast and get daily conversations on the biggest NFL stories, like Eagles Chiefs. It's available wherever you get Locked On Eagles. For Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for watching and listening, and let's go Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.